In Between Talking About the Elephant by Jackie Kay for Kate Taylor. I discover some rough skin on her elbow. I run my tongue along it. I kiss her again, then I fetch an apple. A polished red apple. I watch her eat it, even the core. It is thrilling. She holds the apple close to her face and munches slowly and stares at me while she bites into it. The juice from the apple, frothy, slips down the side of her chin. We get out of bed. We sit in the middle of the floor in our living room. We are on the 24th floor. We've got quite a view of our city. Up here, we feel apart, high and holy. I go out as little as possible. I look into her eyes, ready, full of a terrible trembling excitement. I can't wait. It is really all I want to do. It is all she wants to do. My mouth is dry with anticipation. My heart beats faster. I wonder how we lived before, what we did, how we passed our time. It all seems incredible to me that we could have thought life had meaning, significance, depth. How naive we both were, how shallow. It is not too late. Every day counts. The elephant heard, she says, and I feel a surge of happiness, a pleasure so intense I can feel it in my bones. Can you picture them, their brown skin, their long trunks, their vulnerable tusks, their columnar legs, their big feet, with such carefully defined toes, walking in Ceylon before Ceylon was Sri Lanka? Can you just see their big bulging foreheads, their massive gifted ears? Imagine the profound feeling they have, elephant to elephant, a clan, a tribe, a family. Oh, they know they are similar and different. They know each other's bones, she shouts out. I feel faint, giddy. I grip the wooden leg of the sofa. They're trundling along together, united in their elephantness, their trunks swaying, their huge sides swinging. And suddenly one of them falls down and dies. The weight, the crash, makes the earth groan. Maybe it's the matriarch. The other elephants try and get her up. One pushes her with his trunk, another tries putting food in her mouth, another tries to mount her. Some of the elephants stroke and stroke her with their trunks. A calf kneels and tries to suckle. Then the elephant herd circles the dead elephant, round and round. It's a circle of hope, of disbelief. If they just walk round and round this dead elephant, they think they will bring her back to life. Oh, this elephant is not dead, they think. They refuse to believe it. The elephant wouldn't do that to us, they think. One heavy, thunderous step after another. Or perhaps they don't think at all. They carry out actions that are just like our thoughts. Still, the elephant does not move. They are tired. The top lid of their small, heavy eyes are sad and lined. She will not move. What do they do then for her, for our elephant? She has started to cry. I have tears flooding my face. I wipe them away to the side of my hair with the palm of my hand. She is sniffing into a tissue. I feel protective, aching. We have to get back into bed. I kiss the tears from her face. If a human being cries from emotion, there is protein in the tears. I lick them. The tears on her cheeks are salty and plump. She moans and sobs, and she sounds just like an animal. She moves her head from side to side. Her hair is thin, light, feathery. When the circus elephant was whipped for not learning its trick, I tell her after. She lay on her side and wept, and real tears fell down from her elephant's face. The trainer couldn't believe it, the racking sounds of her sobs. He never punished her again. I think some men feel more shame when they mistreat an animal. Isn't it odd how animals can reveal the real man? I feel pleased with myself. The light in her eyes has gone out and the dull look has come back. I think she prefers to do the talking. She doesn't like it when I do the talking. I try to make my voice sound soothing, calm, like a balmy summery evening in a very foreign place. I try to picture us on some veranda with the sound of foreign birds singing in the heat and trees shuffling gently in the breeze. I imagine us under the mosquito net, tilting a cold drink down our throats. But my voice can't lift her and take her away. The phone rings. It will be her mother. I won't get it, I say. We're up to our ears here. Her mother's voice comes on the machine. It grates even though her mother has quite an easy voice. It never used to grate. It has only been an irritant since the elephant. Hello, it's me. I'm just ringing to see how you are, she says. Her voice is too cheerful. The sky is huge outside. A lot is happening in it. Before the elephant, we just watched the sky, watched the sun go down in flames and fury, and the moon appear cool and serene. We watched the clouds conceal, reveal, conceal the moon. But then the elephant came, and now the sky is just a big sky outside the window. What more is there to say about the sky? When an elephant arrives, you must talk about the elephant. It is impossible to ignore. You must talk about the elephant until you are blue in the face. Because the elephant is massive, because the elephant's brain is larger than yours, because elephants know all about sorrow. I pull myself away from her to pour a glass of water. The tap runs for a long time, and I listen to the sound of the water running. I put the glass to her lips. Go on, I say. Go on. And she does. Oh, she does. Her throat is dry at first, so I push the glass of water into her hand and watch while she takes a few careful sips. It's been a long time since we've cooked a proper meal. We've lost interest in food. We eat apples, potatoes, and carrots. Mostly we eat them raw, grated. Raw is good. Raw is best. I can't wait for the next installment. I am glued. If it wasn't for the elephant, I don't know what we would do with our time. If it wasn't for the elephant, where would we be? I sing, but she raises her hand to stop me. Concentrate. She must concentrate. Her face is intent, intense. The elephant tribe circles the dead one several times until it comes to an uncertain stop. Then the tribe faces outwards, their trunks hopelessly hanging down to the ground. They tread slowly, slowly, slowly. Her breath is uncertain here, difficult. Circling the dead one, still they face outwards because they can't face what they see, or because that is just their elephant way of doing things. They must know for certain now that all the circles in the world will not bring the dead one back. So they tear off branches from nearby trees, they rip grass clumps from the vegetation, and they bring all that back and drop it on the dead one to bury her, to cover her, to show some respect. I know what she means. Nothing is lost on me. I listen with huge flapping ears.